This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Why did you get them like a turtle or something?
Get the dogs a turtle?
That'll ever get old. What's better, that or when he can't come up with the word counter?
Counter.
You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter? Yeah,
the counter.
Tibbs, we saw in game three that, Ian, we saw that Tibbs in game three made the switch.
This is DCR.
Burgle is a word!
On 98.7. ESPN.
It was funny. You didn't realize how funny it is till you hear things like that. We are very funny. 1-800-919-3776. DCR 98.7 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. I don't know what you call Ian Begley. Tibbs.
Tibbs. I was like, oh, he's got a new nickname, huh? Tibbs.
Oh, that's right.
In Lord Pierce.
And we never get one from Canty. Like, we've searched, you know, far and wide to get
the Hawks when they were coached
Canty.
By Lord Pierce.
Pierce?
Dave, we got plenty of mishaps from me on the radio. Plenty of them.
I don't know.
I mean, one of them was a drop. The Alex Rodriguez one. Last year, you had to buy out Alex Rodriguez. Exactly. I just quit on saying the guy's name.
But that was, I think that was before I came on the show.
I don't know about that. It all kind of blurs together, Dave.
That's
Tibbs, we saw in game three that Tibbs in game three made the switch. Oh, man, it was great. It's great.
The best moment, though, for me, I mean, Canty's had a bunch of different good ones, but when he almost fainted, when Bernie Williams was in the studio.
That was definitely pre-meeting.
Oh, my God.
Show.
When he looked like he was going to faint.
He turned into fanboy, right?
Oh.
Love
God forbid, if Bernie came in with his guitar, Canty would have started throwing panties at him. Like, he would have taken,
I mean, it's crazy. You think Bernie would play at my wedding?
Yes.
You think if I asked him, like, Bernie, would you come and play at the reception?
First of all, he loves to play. He does.
Yeah.
He's all over the place. I think not only would he, I think we need to do this, and I think we should get him on the show and offer him this position on the show.
We have to make that happen.
Yes.
Guys behind the glass, I need you to get on this. Bernie Williams playing at my wedding.
Like, the appropriate thing for you, Chris, would be for you to pay for his flight out and maybe hotel
room.
Oh,
of course, yeah. First class, yeah. Dave. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All the way. No question about it. His hotel accommodations,
right.
His meals, whatever he wants.
But absolutely, I think he would
Bernie, you
got to
excuse me a little bit. I'm a huge fan. I grew up in the Bronx.
Love
watching
to have
you guys
Bernie play.
I remember those back-to-back-to-back championships. Yeah. Y'all won the Subway Series in 2000 against the Mets. I mean, it's crazy.
Did you hear the release? Did you hear the release, though? He's like, oh.
I never heard Chris talk so quickly, though.
RJ, play that again, though. Play that one more time. You can hear that.
Bernie, you got to excuse me a little bit. I'm a huge fan. I grew up in the Bronx. I watched you guys play. I remember those back-to-back-to-back championships. Yeah. Y'all won the Subway Series in 2000 against the Mets. I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, it's crazy.
I tried to hire MC Hammer for my wedding. Didn't work out.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted to do a dance with MC Hammer. It's like to kick off the reception. Like with MC Hammer pants on?
You were going to dance with Hammer?
Yeah. I wanted to do the Hammer dance with the pants
on. How far did it go? Did you get in touch with him?
Yeah, I just did it. Yeah, like, I mean, we took all the steps, just didn't end up working out.
So he wouldn't do it or like that weekend wouldn't
work? Just the timing. Yeah, the timing didn't work out.
So you could have hired him for the wedding, but that weekend didn't work for him?
Yeah, I was fully invested in doing it.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Bernie playing at your wedding, Chris, I would be disappointed at this very moment if it didn't happen, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Especially, can you imagine if we got a duet with Bernie and Canty playing the clarinet? Oh, my.
No.
A clarinet solo?
Why would I play at my own wedding, though?
How good would that be?
I don't want to be the entertainment at my own wedding.
Like Ron Burgundy with the jazz flute, just like jumping around on tables.
No, if I could do it, if I could
6'8", 300 plus pound guy.
If I could do it like
clarinet.
That'd be different. Yeah.
All right. So I have now pulled up with the Lakers being eliminated, the odds to win the NBA Finals, win the Eastern Conference. All right. Eastern Conference, we start there. Who has the least best chance, I guess, for lack of a better term, to win the Eastern Conference right now?
The Hawks.
Yeah. They are getting a big number if you like the Hawks, plus 1,400. So you bet 100, you win 1,400. Followed by who?
The Bucks.
Sixers?
Chris Canty, you are correct.
Yeah.
The Sixers are plus 450. Followed by?
Milwaukee.
Yep, at plus 270. Mm-hmm. And then
the Nets.
Yep.
At minus 130 to win the Eastern Conference. And we say this is the Eastern Conference Finals. The Bucks have the second best chance to win the Eastern Conference. So I think that kind of proves the point there. All right, the entire thing. You're going to be very happy with this, by the way. Hawks are plus 3,000. Mavericks are plus 2,800. Then teams get a little more competitive. Nuggets are plus 1,400. Clippers are plus 1,100. Sixers are plus 1,000. I like the Suns, plus 750. Bucks, third favorite at plus 575. Utah is the second favorite at plus 350.
Mm.
And the Nets are your favorites at what? What do you think the Nets are favored at?
What was Utah?
Plus 350.
Nets.
You
can go minus.
Yeah.
Well, think about this. Let me just give this to you to help you a little bit. They're minus 130 to win the East.
Okay.
So it's got to be worse than that.
So it'd be, what would you go?
Plus 150.
Plus 150?
Yeah, you guys are right there. Plus 175.
Okay.
Nice. To win the whole thing. I got to tell you, I think it's a great bet. I mean, the only team that I see standing in the way of the Nets is Milwaukee. There's no way they're going to lose to Philly. There's no way they'd lose to Atlanta. And, I mean, listen, I guess Utah's pretty good. Phoenix is pretty good. The Clippers, the Mavs are fine. But if they win this series, I don't see how they don't win the entire thing.
I'll put it to you this way, though, Dave, and I know we're saying this about the Nets, the big three. We've never seen a collection of offensive talent on one team like this before. But there are a lot of people in NBA circles that feel like the Bucks are going to be the ones that come out of this series. Now, I'm not one of them, but I'm just telling you, I reached out to my guy yesterday. There are a lot of people that are in the know that feel like the Bucks match up really, really well against the Nets and that they can create a whole lot of problems, and they expect the Bucks to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, they expect it. Not saying that there's a chance. Like, they think that this is how it's going to play out.
This is the toughest matchup for them.
I agree.
I mean, especially with Embiid banged up. I mean, this is it. And the addition of Drew Holiday for them is a humongous difference. And then you add that someone that can defend like P.J. Tucker. I mean, that's a big deal. And no one's really been talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. Everyone's been so focused on the Nets.
You know what I want to see, Rico? And I want to see this from the opening tip in this series. Giannis locking up against KD. That's what I want to see.
You're asking Giannis to do a lot in this series, though.
Yeah, well, Dave, I mean, that's what it's going to have to be, right? I mean, in order for this team to get to where they want to go, Giannis is going to have to prove that he's one of the best defenders in the NBA because he's going up against the best offensive player in the NBA. Like, he's going to have to do that this series. And if you think about the matchups across the board, like, it just makes sense. Who are you going to put on Kevin Durant? You're going to put Brook Lopez on Kevin Durant?
No, you have to put Giannis. But I'm just saying,
it has to be
you're going to need Giannis to play 43 minutes a game. You're going to need Giannis to try to slow down Kevin Durant, and you need him to score the ball as well. You're asking a whole – you're asking LeBron James type of stuff from Giannis in the series.
But he's an MVP, though, Dave. I mean, that's what you would expect from your MVP. Right? I mean, that's he's one of the best players in basketball.
He's great.
You'd want him to take on that challenge. Because, you know, I mean – Yo, Tucker and Drew Holiday are going to play good defense against Kyrie and Harden.
Yeah.
Now, is it
here, Chris here's the thing about you the, think you think Chris Middleton will play against Harden, or you think that's going to be PJ Tucker?
I think he would probably want. I would want the physicality of
Tucker.
Like Tucker
maybe
feels
play
like
both guys on him.
You just throw fresh bodies at them. But
yeah.
the thing that concerns me about the Bucks, and I think it's going to be a really good series, is Giannis late in games. He's an awful free throw shooter.
Awful. Like, got to be a concern. It has to be.
And you don't worry about any of that with the Nets.
No.
Like, those three guys late in games, I mean, those guys will knock down free throws. I mean, they average.
Yeah, but you can trust Drew Holiday late in games, and Chris Middleton kind of showed, you know, in that first series that you feel like you can trust him at the end of games with what he did against the Heat, so.
No, but I'm saying, like, I'm going out of my way. Like, if we're down late, like, I'm going out of my way. I'm following Giannis.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I'm going to make him beat me with free throws. Because I don't believe he can do it.
Let's hear from Kevin Durant. We mentioned the matchup against Giannis. Here he is playing against Giannis. Is certainly no easy task. Here's KD.
Plays hard. He cares about his teammates. He cares about winning. I mean, you put that combination together, you make a tough player. And his game is expanding. He's hitting the turnaround J now. He's shooting threes. So we got our work cut out for us. I mean, he's a two-time MVP defensive player of the year for a reason. So we're looking forward to the challenge.
This is such a huge second round series because I stand by it. I don't see anybody beating Brooklyn if they win this series. And if they lose this series, they're going to look at this season, everyone in NBA circles, as a complete failed season, complete failed year.
Yeah, if they didn't even get to the Eastern Conference Finals, yep. Dave, that's what everybody would say. Like, you put together this super team, James Harden shoots his way out of Houston, and then now you got Kyrie and KD, everybody healthy going into the playoffs. There's no excuse as to why you can't win. Like, it's all teed up for you, and you're not going to have to deal with LeBron James. Like, for all of those things to kind of break your way, if you don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, season is a massive failure.
Massive failure.
They gutted their entire roster so these three guys could play together.
But here's the thing then, Chris. If you look at losing this series as a massive failure, you don't expect them to lose the next series. If they lose in the NBA Finals to Phoenix or Utah, you'd look at that as a failure. Can we change the narrative now with the Lakers out and say if they don't win the whole thing, it's a massive failure?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I would agree with that. To me, the Bucks of the teams that are left in the NBA playoffs, Right now, I think the Bucks are playing the best.
I think the Bucks weren't messing around with Miami.
Yeah, I think the Bucks are playing the best basketball.
This is a different Milwaukee Bucks team than we've ever seen.
No question. No question about it.
Well, because they've already had failure, right? I mean, this is going into the season. I mean, there was a lot of focus the last couple of years on Giannis in the postseason. And they talk about building the wall and him. You know what I mean? Like, who was going to take the last shot? Like, there was a lot of questions surrounding the Bucks. Everyone still knows that the Bucks are one of the better teams in the league, right? But there was a lot less talk about the Bucks this year than there has been in the past couple.
Sure.
Like, the focus has been on, a lot of the time, look at what the Sixers are doing now that they got Doc Rivers, the Nets, what they put together.
It was the Nets, the Lakers, a little bit of the Sixers, but the Bucks were certainly the afterthought this year.
I don't think you're wrong, though, now. I mean, I felt like if the Nets got to the finals and they went up against the healthy Lakers team,
I agree with you that you'd look at that and say, you know what? It was a successful season. If they lose to Phoenix or Utah, which are probably the two teams that you would expect from the you would say it's a failure.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if they get through the Bucks, and then they get through Philly, and then you got a team going to the finals that really doesn't have any experience.
And they lose to Phoenix or Utah?
What if they lost to the Clippers, Dave? I don't see it happening, but what if that happened?
I'd be disappointed in that too. I think if you get by Milwaukee, you have to win the championship now.
Okay, I would agree with that. I'm just
going to see
the Clippers
get past Dallas first,
right? I mean, they got their hands full.
I don't think they will. I can't believe I'm saying it. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Dallas is going to advance, but I'm just saying of the teams that we thought would be in title contention this year, I think the Clippers, the Bucks, and the Sixers are the only teams that we thought would be in the position that they're in right now. Right? Nobody saw Utah, Phoenix.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, Utah you thought would be good. Phoenix is a complete surprise.
Yeah. Complete Denver surprise. Without Jamal Murray? Come on.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't touch this.
And for the first time as husband and wife, let's welcome them in, Mr. and Mrs. Richard DiPietro.
Oh, no, we're not welcoming them in. I'm already dancing.
Oh, what I love.
So
that.
Hard makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me with the mind you rat and two black.
Oh, and for some reason, Dave, I see the purple hammer pants he's got on with the big chain. Oh, completely in the character, I would have loved it.
Mr. Hammer made a terrible decision not going to that wedding.
Do you imagine that video, that wedding video?
No. You would have been on America's Funniest Home Videos. You would have won $1 million. It would have been so good for you.
You've been unforgettable.
Unforgettable. DCR, although I probably would have forgotten. ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. I just learned this, by the way. Today is National Donut Day.
I saw you perk up when you heard that.
Yeah. Oh,
what's your favorite donut?
Oh, you got to get a dozen.
I was fat at one point.
Krispy Kreme.
The glazed Krispy Kreme.
The glazed Krispy Kreme donut.
A little bit of heaven, yeah.
I mean, you have to get a dozen now if it's National Donut Day, don't you?
I think you do yourself and everyone a disservice if you don't. Yeah. Right now, I put how many donuts in front of you? How many could you eat in the next 10 minutes? Honestly.
Who are you asking, me or Canty?
Both of you.
In the next half hour, you give me a dozen. How many donuts can I eat?
I just said. I'm giving you 10 minutes.
Oh, 10 minutes.
Yes.
Ooh. I'm going to say two dozen, Dave.
And now, wait, look, no, there's no obese way. Man that's going to sit in the chair. You think you could eat two dozen, 24 donuts
in
10, in 10 minutes? Those are huge fat people.
Oh, yeah. The first box is gone in 3 minutes. Done. That's not even a thing.
I was going to say I think I could eat up to 10. 24?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Krispy Kreme's are different. I mean, Krispy Kreme's are easy
to eat.
You
heat them up
then.
A little bit? Oh, they melt in your mouth. Oh.
Those are two biters.
Oh, I'm telling you.
You don't have to chew, really. It's the chewing that gets you. When I did that 5-pound sandwich, it's the chewing. Jaw gets tired.
I have to be honest. I don't know if you feel like this, Rick. I would love at some point when we're back in the studio to set this up as a challenge. I don't think you could eat 24.
Can we find a Krispy Kreme?
What?
Yes. Yes, there is one. Yes. Yes.
Right, so we
I think
do
it's
that,
on 6th
sure.
Avenue. Yeah. There is absolutely a Krispy Kreme.
24 Krispy Kreme donuts. I've wagered like this before and won. RJ, what was our wager that we had years ago?
I believe the original would have been, I think, 8 hot dogs in 10 minutes. But I talked myself into 10 hot dogs in 8 minutes, and I lost.
Of course you
What made you think you could eat 10 hot dogs in 8 minutes?
Well, ask Dave. I think I held up admirably. I was never going
to
do
10. You never had a chance to win,
No,
though.
But I think I did like 7.5. We'd have to call Nuno, the fine producer of Greeny. But it was somewhere in the ballpark of like 7.5. In 8 minutes?
Speaking of Nuno, I saw that the exchange between Nuno and Sanders.
I didn't like it either. I'm glad you brought that up.
Gross.
I mean, taking shots at, you don't have to work with this difficult host. Well, I might not have to work with that one, but you don't have to work with this one. My host is worse than yours between Santiago and Nuno.
I think that was you, though. I think that was
all the
puck is black.
I don't think so. And it started so innocently, too. I think it was Anthony, who's on the K show, who tweets out something like, when the Knicks lost the other night, what a great job by Ray Santiago. He worked so many Knicks and Rangers games, and congratulations to him, and just a wonderful job. And then it spouts into, well, you don't know the host that I have to work with. Well, you don't know the host that I have to work with, and who's got worse hosts? It was very troublesome.
I never said a word about you guys. Not a word.
Dude, but you insinuated it. Coming from a board op, didn't even know what day it is half the time.
And you know why I don't know what day it is half the time? Everything blurs together. I go from a night working where I had 2 games, and God forbid the Knicks are on the West Coast. The Rangers didn't have to travel, thank God. But like the Knicks would be out on the West Coast, and then I wouldn't get any sleep. I slept here, and then I'd have to do a show. The days all blur together. You got to give me a break.
It's nasty.
And
so
again,
here's
I never said a word about you.
I don't feel bad for
you. Not a word.
It was nasty. So Anthony Pusick says, shout out to Ray Santiago for handling both. I mean, it started out so nice. Shout out to Ray Santiago for handling both Knicks and Rangers broadcasts on ESPN, New York 98.7 ESPN. On condensed schedules, work hours that I'm still not quite sure how he managed all season long. Really nice. And then Ray originally nice. Thanks, my friend. Sometimes I wonder how I did it and whether or not it was healthy to do so, but it was fun. I'm fortunate to say that even though I work really hard, I love my job, both of them. Great. Nuno, definitely not healthy, and then add on the fact that you have to deal with some of the hosts. So there's an S there. Some of the hosts that you have to deal with. I'm just glad you're okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think you met Dave Rothenberg and Ed Cohen.
It sounds to me like your beef is with Nuno, not me. I said a word about you.
That's and then you point. Said, well, how about some of the hosts that you've had to deal with in the past?
This is a miracle, because I don't know a damn thing about hockey. I've often said, I don't know a damn thing about hockey. Let me be clear.
Yeah, I'm going to defend Ray Santiago on that one. He didn't say
stop
anything
it. Innuendo
about
everywhere.
Us. No.
Oh, he insinuated.
No.
How many hosts does he work with?
He didn't insinuate anything about us. He insinuated something about
Nuno. He didn't respond, no. If you don't squash it, you're part of the problem.
If I had said in the tweet, and also with these psychopaths that I have to work with every morning, okay, then you'd have a right to be mad.
No, but he puts that tweet out there, and you respond, you know what, it's not fair. I love those guys. There was none of that.
I think he was trying to defend us by talking about some of the guys that he works with.
So he was going to now take shots at other people instead of defending us.
Listen.
No, that was mine are bad, but yours are worse.
As difficult as it is for any sort of reason to do this show, none of you at any point have ever disappeared for 2 minutes to start the show, so I'm playing 2 minutes of music, okay? We can agree on that, right?
That was classic, by the way.
It happened once a week at least.
I think I listened to that show, actually.
You're deflecting again. This is right out of the Rick DiPietro playbook.
No,
let me
stop
deflect
it.
My way out of this. Disgusting.
You're deflecting away from the fact that he insinuated that you were the bad host.
Mm. No, how do you figure that?
Professional victim. Like you said, he's a professional victim.
Nuno writes, definitely not healthy, and then add on to the fact that you have to deal with some of the hosts, plural, that you deal with. I'm just glad you're okay. So why would you insinuate that this is only me he's talking about? At a minimum, he's talking about me and one of the two of you.
No, because I know the whole, I actually know the one he's the one of the hosts. I'm putting you as the second.
So that he's saying Canty and me.
No, Nuno wouldn't take a shot at me, would he?
I don't know.
He's not that stupid.
Feels like he just might be. And then, you know, and honestly, I'm glad you brought this up because Santiago did not defend us at all. There was not, I love these guys. They're great. They're friends. They're coworkers. All of the above. No. Now let me take shots at people you work with, Nuno.
So because he didn't defend us, you feel like he's taking a shot at us?
I think confused. It's much like Rick being offended that he wasn't offered the hockey show.
I agree. I'm 100% with Dave on this one. And here's the thing, though. We're so nice to Santiago to a point where we still let him play in the softball game.
Play would be a...
Well, I mean, we let him hit.
Wow.
Let him hit.
Wow, well, y'all hit again would be a word that I don't
know. You call this being nice to Santiago? Oh, all the shots you take at this dude?
Let me play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
We let him swing.
Swing, yes.
In the softball game. Swing.
I mean, listen, nothing I could have done that day is as embarrassing to what you guys are doing right now.
Don't say you guys.
You're so dedicated to being a professional victim. You got to go and dig something to make yourself look better. Because you went into this thing looking to be a victim, and when you found that there was nothing for it to base it on, you want to turn it into a personal thing. I see how you work, Dave Rothenberg.
You made the softball pitcher look like Jacob DeGrom. I've never seen anything like that before.
Again, deflecting. Deflecting.
Not deflecting anything. All right, can we hear from Damian Lillard, please?
There's a small piece of me that believes that you in the bedroom with Sherry role play you as the victim.
You know what? I'm not going to let you know what's going on in our bedroom.
Yo, that's going on.
Definitely.
Your silence speaks volumes.
There.
I'm not going to. The last thing I'm going to do is let you behind closed doors. Let's just say Zach.
No, Sherry, no.
From Billions?
Yeah, no. No, Sherry, no. You shut your mouth, Dave.
Oh, my gosh.
Safe words, all of it. All right, give me, keep the music on for me. I want to give something away. I'm in a good mood. Keep the music.
What are you giving away with this kind of music?
Right.
Islanders tickets.
Mustache rides?
No, Islanders tickets. Islanders fans, listen up. The Isles are home against the Boston Bruins for Game 4. Your good friends here at 98.7 ESPN, they have your chance. We have your chance for you to be there. Be the first caller right now. The sexy number, 888-987-ESPN. You'll score two tickets to tomorrow's game and an Islanders prize pack, including... autograph puck. All brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Boom. Hockey tickets on the way. And there you have it.
And maybe a prize pack.
Not maybe.
You got to win, though. You got to stay. I mean, you got to tune in.
You just got to call 888-987-ESPN.
Are you getting the prize pack today, too?
Yes.
Oh, you get the tickets and the prize pack.
Yeah, and I don't listen.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
All lined up. Want to get to this Damian Lillard sound and Bobby Marks as well. You tell me, Chris. You want to hear what Damian Lillard and how frustrated he sounded after the loss last night and their season being done? You want to hear from Bobby Marks about... the Knicks and their future and Barrett Toppin and Quickly. You want to hear from some callers. You lead the way right now.
Let's go with Bobby Marks, Dave.
Bobby Marks.
Yes.
He said on the K Show, I don't know if you heard it, but Bobby Marks said Barrett, Toppin, and Quickly, people, these are not superstar players.
Oh, yeah. And that's where you're at.
You have draft picks recently in Barrett, in Toppin, and in Quickly. Of those three, do you see a future superstar there?
No, I don't. As far as a build around franchise level, I think RJ would be probably out of the group of three the guy. You know, if you had to pick a guy, I don't see him as a an all star 2 years from now. I think he's going to be a very good player. I really do, but I don't see him as an all star type player.
What I would say to that, though, are there people thinking that, that Toppin, Quickley, and Barrett are on the verge or at any point will be superstars?
No, I don't think so. Well, I mean, it was tough. They donned Bigfoot at him before he asked that question. I don't know, superstar, but I mean, you're looking to see if you have, do I have, you know, foundational pieces moving forward? Like, what will R.J. Barrett turn into? What will Quickley turn into? What will Toppin eventually be? Because if you're going to win in this league, you need multiple stars on your team.
Yep.
I mean, they're borderline superstars, and you've seen the difference. Like, we all at the time, right? Like, as we sat there and we had our fingers crossed, our toes crossed, whatever you were doing to try to, you know, will us into having one of the top two picks in that draft. You see right now, as good as R.J. Barrett looked this season from where he was, from year one to year two, he is not Zion or Ja Morant.
Rick, he's not even DeAndre Hunter, who went one pick after him and got outplayed in the first round of the playoffs. He's not that.
Yeah, but I'm going to hold out judgment on that just until Hunter having Trae Young
on a much more talented team.
On a lot more talented team.
And guys, I get it. I completely understand it. But in terms of trying to forecast the upside of the player, I think Knicks fans have got to be realistic about what R.J. Barrett projects as. I get he's only 20 years old, and there's a lot to like there. And it actually did feel like the light came on for him in the second half of the regular season. But what is that ultimately going to turn into versus, you know, what he could bring back in a potential trade? I think those are the things that you have to weigh. And we can't look at R.J. Barrett as this untouchable piece. But I think that's how a lot of Knicks fans see it, because he's one of their own. He's their guy. They drafted him.
I think that R.J. Barrett could turn himself eventually into an all-star. I'd be hard-pressed to say superstar, but I think he could be an all-star.
He's not going to be a superstar. But yeah, I think that's the upside, that he can be an all-star.
I think Quickley could be a sixth man of the year kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Off your bench with that kind of scoring.
And Toppin, I don't think we know.
Well, Toppin makes you nervous because he's already, I mean, he's not a young guy. I mean, he's young, but he's not. I mean, R.J. Barrett's been in the league 2 years. He's only 20. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But as the season progressed, he went from unplayable to playable in meaningful moments. I think he got better, and I think this offseason heading into his rookie year was certainly not ideal. So I think that he could be a good player. I stand by that.
Yeah, he could be a good player. I don't disagree with you. And I hold out a lot of the judgment until they actually get somebody that can facilitate the offense and make it easier for everybody, because they don't have that right now.
No, not even a little bit. All right, more from Bobby Marks on the K Show. What do the Knicks project to be next season in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably going to be right where you were. You know, I think you're probably, you know, there's a separation between where the Philadelphia, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee are. I mean, and those three teams will bring back their core group next year. But I think you're going to probably be in that. It'll be interesting what Miami does and what Toronto does. Some of those other teams that were behind you, Atlanta, will still be good, I think, with figure out what they do with John Collins, but they still got Trae Young and Gallinari and Bogdanovic, guys like that. But you should be in that same, you know, that group of players. But, you know, it's you're, you know, for a team that won, you know, what, 41 games and lost in the first round, it's like, I mean, there's a lot of work to do.
There's a ton of work to do, and I don't know. I don't think you're being very optimistic to think that the Knicks are going to be in that 4-5 range heading into next season. I don't know. I mean, I need to see what they're going to do this offseason, but I think that's asking for a lot right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think you saw it in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, they weren't, you know, talent wise, they weren't a legitimate 4 seed.
No,
they weren't.
No,
they overachieved. I mean, that's what it is. They overachieved. They took advantage of the fact that, you know, teams this season in the East underachieved. Like, the Celtics had something going on with the ball. They had the COVID, and they dealt with a bunch of different things. So they they didn't have a great regular season.
Toronto the same.
Toronto
Miami,
same thing.
Never the flipped Heat, that switch.
Yeah, the Heat was dealing with a bunch of things with COVID. Jimmy Butler not playing all the time. Coming back, you know, short rest coming out of the bubble. Being in the finals. Like, things fell right for the Knicks.
We don't know what it's going to look like this offseason, but you're telling me right now you think that the Knicks realistically could be the 4 seed again next season?
Well, I mean,
does it matter, though? Let me ask you a question. Does it matter?
Well, like, I think that you would like to be, you know, involved in a full regular season where you think your team has a chance to compete at that level. Unless they make changes, I don't even know that that's possible.
Okay, but hold on. Like, here's my question to you, though. Like, what is the expectation? Like, what would the expectation is like is to, because you already saw how it changed, it flipped. Like, people are like devastated that they lost to the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
when it, initially you're like, this team's not going to be a playoff team. And then it was, oh, let's just be in the play-in, to now devastated that they lost in the first round. And I think we're all aggravated, especially with how it turned out. And then losing that last game pissed everybody off. But what's the expectation? Is the expectation to now take that next step and win a first-round playoff series? Or is it be a team that looked at is looked at that can really compete to be a threat?
Well,
I
don't know that you can do enough to look at be looked at as a team that can be a threat, especially in the Eastern Conference. And assuming that, you know, the Nets are going to come back healthy and the Bucks are going to be right there, and the Sixers are going to be. You can't do enough in one offseason, even if you do have seven impending free agents. The Knicks just can't do enough, but they do have an opportunity to remake this roster because they got a ton of cap space and they got a lot of draft picks. Like, you have an opportunity to improve your talent level, and maybe that put you in a spot where you're good enough to win a first-round series. But one thing's apparent, the Knicks got to have another star. And in order for them to be in a position where you say, yeah, they could have home court in the first round and win that series, like that, they need to make a move in order to get that guy this offseason.
Let's go to Kevin in Belmore. Kevin, good morning. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. I wanted to say that I don't think that we should trade anybody. I don't think we should trade any of our young talent. That's been the problem with the Knicks for the last 30 years. The minute that, you know, we start to make a little progress, we just get rid of guys, and then we end up in a boatload of trouble. I mean, R.J. Barrett is 20 years old. Toppin is 19. I mean,
no, Toppin is not 19.
Toppin's not 19. Toppin's 23. You're telling me you wouldn't trade R.J. Barrett and or Obi Toppin if you got a better player in return, a big-time player, and maybe even a point guard in return?
I wouldn't. I mean, you guys got to look at this. Look at Golden State, for instance. 2008, they were nothing, right? They sat there, they built through the draft, and they developed their talent. We should do the same thing. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I hear guys say trade him for Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, when he came into the league, nobody knew he was
but timeout. Tell me right now, are the young talent.
You don't have that many timeouts.
No, I'm taking all these timeouts. Who on the Knicks is turning into Steph Curry?
Nobody. Nobody.
Really? I mean, that's what we're going to do? We're going to point to the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah.
Where you got the best shooter to ever live? Tell me, which one of the Knicks has turned into the best shooter that ever lived?
Nobody on this roster is turning into Bradley Beal, Rico.
Do you guys look at this roster and think to yourselves, boy, if they just keep this team together in three or 4 years,
Dave,
they're going to be a major player?
No, I don't look at this team like that. No.
When do you want to win, though? That's the question. We're in New York. This is not a small market. Like, when do New York Knicks fans want to win? Like, when is the goal to start really, you know, really winning?
Well, shouldn't the goal be to start trying to win once that Brooklyn Nets team breaks up, which is going to happen in a couple of years? Like, shouldn't that be your objective?
But then you're still looking at him. You're still going to have to deal with Philly. You're still going to have to deal with Milwaukee.
Yeah, I feel like that's a lot. That's a lot more manageable than dealing with the Brooklyn Nets.
Now, when you say this, you talk about Damian Lillard. Is that what you're?
Well, no. I mean, but even if you just got Damian Lillard, if you added Damian Lillard to this team, you're still not beating any of those top three teams.
No.
So, I mean, the way this turned around is the same way Brooklyn turned around, is where you get two superstars that decide they want to play together. And the place that can offer them that because of the cap space and ability to trade and everything else is the Knicks.
So you're ultimately going to end up trading the young player that you're trying to so desperately to hold on to anyway.
Well, how many of these teams, just correct me if I'm wrong, how many of these teams that are young win championships? A lot of them?
No, not a lot of them.
Like when LeBron James goes to a new team, does he keep a lot of the young guys around?
No,
he wants the veteran.
A lot of the young guys playing for Brooklyn right now?
No.
Now, what did Milwaukee do? Did they bring in young guys?
No. They brought in veterans, yeah.
Here would be the best case scenario, right? If you wanted to instantly all of a sudden now turn into a team that could compete right away, is if that somehow, some way, Kawhi Leonard loses in this first round, realizes with Pandemic P he can't win a championship, and him and Damian Lillard get together and say, hey, why don't we go play somewhere together?
And Kawhi comes as a free agent, and then you trade for Lillard?
And you keep Randall?
Oh, yeah. Now you got a team that can compete.
Now we're talking. Oh, my God, would the Knicks be on fire? All right, speaking of Damian Lillard, they lose again in the first round, and he says we're just not good enough.
I mean, we didn't win a championship, so obviously what where we are now isn't good enough. I don't know what a shakeup looks like or what changes will be made or could be made. Obviously, as is, it wasn't good enough. You know, we came up short against a team without their starting point guard and shooting guard. Will Barton didn't play. And Jamal Murray didn't play, and we came up short. So obviously where we are isn't good enough to win the championship if it's not good enough for us to get out of a first-round series with, you know, two of their best three or four players not on the floor.
You see what he posted on IG, too?
I did not. What was it?
How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meets preparation?
Yes.
Nipsey Hussle.
Yes.
Because that's been his whole thing, right? He's committed to Portland. At what point does that change?
Love it.
Because, I mean, you get to a point like where you just can't make any more. Like, you can't make any more moves.
Yeah. No, you're kind of out of moves. Here's more from Dame Lillard. He's not, at the moment, not thinking about the future.
To come up short in the first round, you know, our season to end on our home floor is disappointing. That's as far as I am with it right now. You know, I'm not really thinking about none of the other change or whatever, man. You know, we'll see what happens with him. No, I haven't even thought that far out.
He sounds pretty despondent. I mean, I know they just lost, but it's
he's too good not to be competing for championships, Dave. He's too good not to have that opportunity. Like, he's just wasting away out there in Portland. Like, I mean, he doesn't have the supporting cast that he needs. That's apparent. That's obvious. Look at the game that he had the night before, a couple of nights before, where he drops 55 points, Dave. It's
crazy.
Unbelievable.
So good. And I'm what, he hit 12 threes? I mean, he's
12
so,
threes and comes and still so comes up good. Short.
But he's right, though, too. I mean, you lost to a Denver team that doesn't have
Jamal Murray's not
Jamal Murray.
The second best player.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. Let's go to Spike in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike.
Good morning, my friends, and thank you for another brilliant week of programs. Very entertaining. Wonderful shows. All right, well, the Knicks, listen, they achieved the fourth seed, but it was a fake fourth seed. I'm not going to play. I loved every minute and every game. All three of you guys say the same thing. We look forward to watching a Knicks game. It's been a dearth of that forever. But, I said it yesterday or the day before, I wouldn't R.J. Barrett in that draft, I think it was, Zion, Ja, and DeAndre Hunter fourth, I think.
Yep.
He's going to be a good NBA player. That's what he's going to be. You see it after 100 games or whatever he's played. You see it. He's not going to be like the other three. That's not a knock on a young man. He plays really hard. I think the Knicks need two things. We know the point guards and Mark Jackson. Heard that for 1,000 times since I've been calling. And the other thing is now you need a 3-and-D stretch guy, like one of these 6'7", 6'8 guys. And by the way, tip my cap to Devin Booker. When the lights shine the brightest, the stars shine the brightest. Brilliant performance last night.
You need shooting is what you need, too. There's too many nights. Like, I mean, Reggie Bullock was too inconsistent.
Oh, come on. Reggie Bullock is he's a guy. Reggie Bullock on a good team is the eighth guy, and he's going to play 16 minutes.
Well, that's what you had. I mean, that's what this Knicks team had.
But you are not. I mean, this whole narrative of let's just let these young guys build. I mean, Alec Burks, who was fine, and I like him. And these are not game changing players. These guys do not play real minutes on really good teams.
Yeah, this is not one of those situations where you try to run it back, Dave. You can't just say, yeah, we're going to bring back all of the free agents that we have impending this summer and think that the Knicks are going to end up in the same spot that they did this year. You just can't do that.
Let's get to Aaron Fox. How's that sound?
Oh, it sounds really good. Let's go to Adam in the nation's capital in D.C. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. You know, I've just been thinking a lot. So, you know, this Knicks team, you know, my team, you know, we've, you know, it got a fourth seed with a team full of journeymen, the lowest payroll in the league. I'm looking at the ESPN projections before the season. We were projected for 24 wins with a 2% chance of making the playoffs. To put that in perspective, the Atlanta Hawks were projected for 60. They had a 63% chance to make the playoffs, and they're projected for like somewhere in the late 30s as far as wins. So what I'm hoping beyond hope that some of these A-list stars like Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, or Kawhi Leonard, they look at this roster and say, wow, they made it to the fourth seed with that roster of journeymen and veterans, and they got the fourth seed. What if we join up and team up over there? We could maybe get to the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference and at least win a round or two or knock on the door of making the finals. So Last thing, just as Knicks fans, as Knicks Nation, I just want to salute Derrick Rose. I saw a guy that showed all-time Knick, New York Knick heart, and he gave it all he had from the beginning. And he just went ball to the wall as hard as he can until he had nothing left. Derrick Rose, for Knicks Nation, I salute you.
By the way, talk about changing the narrative. I mean, Derrick Rose,
oh, yeah.
How people feel about him now in New York as opposed to what he said the first time?
He went AWOL during his first tour duty.
It was a yeah, bad
he, time. He was Kyrie before Kyrie.
He was like
he was the original Kyrie Irving.
Nobody knew where he was at.
100%. All right, Bob in Westbury. Good morning, Bob. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Hey, great show as always. Rick and Chris, feel free to, if you feel I'm off base here, you know, please help out. So, Dave, I love you. I think you're a rock star. But multiple things can be true at the same time. So, I think your calling card is you're incredibly passionate and you can fly off the handle a little bit. And I would imagine at times that might be difficult to work with. So, while, you know, I know you sounded a little sensitive this morning about the comments. That could be a true statement.
I don't think so.
That doesn't take
I think I think I'm a pleasure to work with. I'm typically in a very good mood. I'm laid back. I'm fun. I try to give these guys positions to succeed.
You're nasty,
that,
is what
though,
you are.
Both of you.
No, you're nasty is what you are.
Nasty.
Yeah, the callers feel it. Lonnie feels it. They all feel it. They know it. Things have changed. Since you got the puppies, your whole mood has changed. Everything is about you.
Very unfair. You think I'm difficult? A prima donna?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, you're a diva.
Yeah, 100%.
You have a lot of needs. You're very needy. You've become nasty. I emotionally, you've checked out to the point where, and I can't even people stand up for you. You actually said on live radio that you would release your puppies into the wild to fend for themselves and be okay with it.
You know what? Don't change the quote that I used. I said, if it were up to me and I opened the door and I knew they were going to be safe and had good lives moving forward, that I would do that. But because of the kids, I just couldn't bring myself
to
do
that. That's exactly what people say when they put the baby in front of the fire station. Oh, yeah,
right?
that'll be fine. The baby will be fine.
If I could just open the door and let them out, I would.
I would do it.
Baby.
Bye-bye. And have a good life.
Yeah, no, the baby, I know it. In my mind, that baby is going to have a beautiful life. The great family. Just going to leave it right here in front of the fire station.
The abuse I take from the two of you on a daily basis, it's no wonder that I have issues.
Here we go. Dave Rothenberg playing the world's smallest violin.
And for that,
the victim.
I'm certain that Santiago is going to give me the number one star here on the Friday. Go ahead.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number one.
Should have been number three, but all good. Number
we expect it. Go ahead.
Yeah, go with it. Number three is going to be Dave bringing attention to National Donut Day. So go stuff your face when the show's over. Go enjoy. I think we ran the ad that said Dunkin's giving you a free donut. So start there. If you got to go to Christmas,
Dave got a nice Boston cream right in his face.
Dave's going to go put away an entire dozen. You know,
I can eat a donut. 100%. Give me 20 minutes, dozen Dunkin' Donuts gone.
Probably one bite of
completely
long
you're going to put the dogs
jelly
to
stick.
Shame. You will put the dogs to shame.
The French crawler, oh, I could eat them all. Oh.
Just please don't feed the dogs.
Number two.
Going back to early in the show, I mean, there's a lot of questions about forcing your kid into your fandom, passing on your trauma to the poor kid. And it seems like Ben and Alex have adjusted well, but I do worry
now.
But I do worry about. I think Chris said that they'll be on the therapy couch until they're 50. So, I don't know, a little bit concerning.
Well, but, I don't understand how that's a star, but go ahead with number one.
Okay.
Number one.
Okay.
Here I am playing the smallest violin in the world for Dave Rothenberg, who incriminated himself, first of all, talking about rewording the American English Dictionary when he brought up words like...
A savant veteran.
I've done what I came to done.
We got words like that being invented on this program, but
not invented. Burgle's a word.
But really, what brings it to attention for you is that you incriminated yourself during when all that went down because you Googled to prove that it was a word, which brings it
there
to question.
There is zero chance
every
I would burgle
single thing
a house.
You've ever, every single thing you've ever done on Stump Rothenberg is now called into question.
What a terrible take. You're out of time. We're going to listen to you tomorrow and see how it goes. Stars. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Playing a champion is DiPietro Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro Canty and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro Canty and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.